To the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I want to read the 24th verse as we deal with this thought of the false prophet. Verse 24 of the 24th chapter of Matthew, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now the fact that this is taking place today, that unless it is the elect, they are being deceived. There's a deception in this world today. The existential principle moving through Christianity today in a Pentecostal context is leading straight to demonism. We're witnessing everywhere, like two freeways running through time. There's both a move of God and an apostasy. The Apostle Peter said that the end would not come without God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. He said, "In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Paul, speaking about the same day, said, "The end would not come except there come an apostasy first." This is happening today, and if you view the thing from only the physical standpoint, you're going to be deceived, because the smart boys of religion have learned how to imitate God. The saddest thing in history is to find the people that learn how to be religious without God. That was a great problem in Saul's day. During the reign of Saul, the Ark of God, which symbolized the presence of God, was missing the entire rule of Saul, the king of Israel. They never at one time during the entire rule of Saul ever attempted to get that ark back. But that wasn't the saddest part about it. They never missed it. They had learned how to be religious without God. Now that isn't difficult to understand when you recognize the devil. The Bible tells us and teaches us that Satan, before his fall, was known as the son of the morning. He led all of the creation of God in worship of God. And he was a great musician. Built in him was organs and pipe organs and timbrels. He knew music. When he fell, he took and created a music, as we have in this world today, like rock and other things, a perversion of the truth. He knows the power of music, and so he will imitate it and pervert it. So it is many people that have walked with God, been used of God in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, have sat in the services of God where these things have happened, and have learned how to use these things without God. And the only test of them is, the Bible says, there'll be a form without power. I have every right to judge any man that stands to exercise any gift. If he has a form and there's no power connected with it, then God says for me to turn away from it. If a man stands in this pulpit and begins to discern the sicknesses of the people, the only test of whether that's God or not, do those people get well? If they don't get well, then it's a good guess, ESP or something else. We must not be taken in by the devil. I lay that as a foundation, because today we deal with one of the most sinister characters that ever graced this earth. Down through the centuries, Satan, taking advantage of man's weaknesses, has made that man a tool of his evil scheme. All the way through the years, man has become a tool in the hand of hell. It is God's purpose to use us, not angels, but us, in the propagation of the gospel and the truth. And it's been the devil's business to make man a part of his evil scheme. Even Christians who live on the wrong side of their nature have become unwilling instruments in the hands of this evil one. And I'm talking about that carnal nature, which is for the most part the side that Christian people live on. Our whole life is governed by our own selfishness for the greater part. You only have to look at yourself. How much time do you give to God? You'll spend 8-10 hours a day prepping self, bathing self, resting self, feed himself and give God the token before the day is over. God has only given the leftovers of our lives. So we spend most of our time on the wrong side, and because of that, we become unwilling instruments in the hand of this evil one. Now the superego, the burning ambition, the desire to be recognized, the insecurity, pride, etc., all have become coin for currency in the kingdom of darkness. All of these are things in us that Satan can take advantage of to put us into the hands of the devil. In short, self is the ground of the devil, and every error, scheme, and gimmick of religion has come about by Satan involving the human self in things spiritual. Now, if you hear anything I've said, you hear this now, because it has always come in this direction. All the false prophets with their false teaching up to this point in history had one end in mind, and that was to condition the people for the main and final event, to condition all human beings for that main and final event. The oil in the hands, the legs stretching, teaching folks to talk in tongues, the intellectual use of the gifts of the Spirit, the phenomenal invasion of angels, all are part of a program to prepare the soil for the false prophet, according to Revelation 13. All of it to condition and prepare the soul of the human heart for this evil deceiver that's just around the corner. Now, this personality who could emerge at any moment now is to be the last and greatest of his class. He is to be the consummation of all the false prophets of all time, incorporating in himself the sum and total of all that they've been a part of. This one that's about to appear. He is a creation of the human thought, or he is a creation of human thought and society. The God he proclaims will be a combination of religion and materialism, a creation of the religious mind. The evil genius will be the evolution of all systems of religion that have had their place among mankind down through all of the centuries. A summation of the progress of human society in a culmination of beliefs and persuasions. He will be accepted by all other than the elect of God. You must hear that this morning, because the greatest deception that ever come to the world is here now and will progressively make itself known and insinuate itself into the religion of mankind. Now the religious mind has been preconditioned to accept this master of deceit without question, without question. Slowly but very surely, the mind has been fed the poison of false doctrine. Always, of course, with just enough truth mixed in with it to cause men to accept it. Just a little. You know you can feed a man a little arsenic, and you can gradually increase the dose until his system has reached the point of toleration that you can't kill him with it. And so it is. Hell has gradually insinuated and spoon-fed into the church the doctrine, the false doctrines of religion, until there's a hodgepodge and mixture of neo-Pentecostalism and Romanism in the world today that has sickened the heart of God. Sickened the heart of God. If there's one thing this Bible will tell you, is that God doesn't allow mixtures. No, no. Baalism wasn't healed by mixing it with Judaism. Both of them were destroyed. Both of them were destroyed. God will not. And you listen to the soft-spoken that says it doesn't make any difference what we believe, that we'll never come to the unity of our believing, but this book says two cannot walk together except they be agreed. You either got to believe the book or believe somebody else. This book says that every man be a liar, for God is the truth. Now, there can be no Antichrist without the false prophet. And there can be no world government without a world church, since the world church will be made up not only of apostate Christianity, but all of the religions of the world. Since that's true, a compromise has to be struck. It's not going to be just apostate Christianity. It's already moved, and I'll show you tomorrow, that is going to be an incorporation of all the major religions of this world. This will pose no problem for the false religion, for they have, for the most part, not rejected the competition of other gods. The compromise will not bother Buddhism or Hinduism or Muslimism. No, because they have already accepted the competition of other gods. It is a Christian message that will have to be diluted to make way for the new religion of the false prophet. Our message has always been, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our message has always been, there is one mediator between God and man, himself man, Christ Jesus. We've missed no words. We've said the man everywhere. You'll accept Christ or perish in your sins. But today, that's being questioned. Today there's an acceptance of things that God won't say. Watch for it. The signs of change are everywhere, folks. A revival of religion is in the making. Hear me? I said a revival of religion is in the making. At this moment, all the religions of the world are in ferment. The Muslim world is rising up. Holy war is being called for. Iran is in the grip of a religious regime. Amen. Egypt is having its problems. It was a fanatical Muslim element, they believe, that murdered Mr. Sadat. We're seeing revival of Islam, Mormonism, Christianity, Buddhist, Hindu. We're on the threshold of a new religion. Just as sure as you sit here this morning, we're on the threshold of a religion that will condition itself to fit every carnal mind on this earth. There's going to come a time that Jesus tells us coming that they'll have our head because we won't accept it. There'll come a time because we stand up and say that it won't work. Jesus only can save you. I was on at one time radio where half of this world could hear us. And I was on in India, covered the entire subcontinent. The Pan-American Radio Broadcasting Company had bought the time for us, had made arrangement for us to buy it. And we were on for 3 months. We received volumes of mail out of India. Then we received a letter from the Pan-American Broadcasting Company and said, we're sorry to inform you, Pastor, but the Hindu government of India says your broadcast is not acceptable. They gave their only reason is that you make Jesus Christ too much of an absolute and leave no room for Hindus to go to heaven. They threw us off. The Pan-American Broadcasting says we consider this a compliment, but we can't keep you on there anyway. There'll come a time that the message we preach will be a message that world system with its world church will reject totally. 8 times it is written of this efficient prime minister of religion, the false prophet I'm talking about, 8 times it's written of him these words, he causeth. What he causeth is the most extraordinary in all the history of falsehood and deceit. He causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to what? Worship the first beast. Now there's nothing new about this. Pharaoh had his team of clever magicians. They upheld the prestige of his throne. Jeroboam, who led Israel to sin, placed his accomplices in religious administration at Bethlehem Dan. Hitler had his Goebbels. Goebbels, a forerunner of the false prophet, was assigned to turn the religious instinct of those people to Hitler and the worship of the new state. If you read anything of the history of the Third Reich, you know that Goebbels, his own job, the devil knows that he can't destroy the religious instinct in man. It's there by God. And unless that man murders it itself by refusing to believe, then nothing can eradicate that. The devil knows that, so Goebbels' job was to turn the religious instinct of Germany to the worship of Hitler and the new state. Hitler, as a type of the Antichrist, was to lay hold to the animal nature and take a hold of it by causing craft to prosper in the midst of the greatest depression our world's ever known about. He gave every man a job. He put Germany on his feet, gave every man a job, and in 10 years turned a great commercial nation into barbarians. And he was a forerunner of the false prophet. Hitler's Germany was a mock run. We're about to witness a real performance, folks. You can mark that down. This world is ripened. There is no solutions with man. Mr. Reagan, Mr. Carter, or whoever else we vote in, the problems are with perplexity. But there's one standing in the womb today that's ready to come in and take over the problems of the human race. He's there. He will come. And those that know not the Christ will accept him. The false prophet will work hand in glove with the Antichrist with full authority. Listen, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. In this prestigious position, the false prophet assumes power over the religious instinct of the human race. He'll take that in charge. Amen. He'll take that religious instinct of the human race, claiming absolute custody of what is true. He'll stand up. He has to be a man with the power to change the beliefs. He has to be. And he'll claim absolute authority over what is true, what men are to believe. From that point on, no one will complain of too many religions. A one world church will settle it all. You may complain and you may talk about your unity, but there was a time when there wasn't but one, and 50 million Christ-believing peoples died at the hands of that one church. Coming to power, the false prophet moves quickly to fortify his claim to total control by exhibiting a supernatural will over the forces of nature. And listen to it, Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast. Thus, the false prophet imposes on the world, wins credence to his profession, and claims and sways the public sentiment to the acknowledgement of a new divinity, demanding a new religion. Demanding a new religion. It has happened before. In the past, whole generations have perished, the victims of lies and propaganda so cleverly promoted that multitudes were lost. Paul warns that the final act will deceive the whole world. Think about it. The final act will deceive the whole world. It will be by miracles that man's faith will be captured and controlled. Don't ever forget it. Here today we've created a climate. If a man can perform any kind of a miracle, he'll be worshipped without question. He'll be accepted without question. And the Bible said it'll be through miracles that this false prophet will capture the faith of the believers. Even in him whose coming is after Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, so will man's apostasy be confirmed. We must never forget for a moment that there's a supernatural law against God as well as a supernatural law for God. And the Bible makes it plain that both the devil and God are capable of performing miracles, and both the devil and God are super to the natural of the natural man. That's the reason we must know the difference. We must know the difference. Oh, today's miracle-conscious religious world is ripe for delusion. If a man can work a miracle, amen, then he will Pentecostal world not ask what he believes. Not ask what he believes. God never moved faster. Never was one to capture and perform the miracles of his power. But I believe you and I have every right to question whatever comes on the religious scene today. Every right. Now the soil is being prepared today for this pseudo-holy man. You look at the Khomeinis and those that have stood up in this hour. The curtain of night slowly drops on this poor sin-cursed earth. As the Christian world moves to remove the last barrier that stands in the way, and you listen to me, the Christian world moves right now to remove the last barrier that stands in the way of this false prophet, the new religion. And that barrier is the Word of God. The despotism of a big lie could never come as long as the church was faithful to the Word of God. Can you say amen? It could never come as long as the church was faithful to the Word of God. Now all that's gone. In the new evangelism, she's moved to a spirit-only movement. Don't you hear me? We've gone through the apostasy of a God only and a Jesus only. And now we're in the time of a Holy Ghost only. And if you're not careful, you'll see it swept in under the door. The so-called Christian church is no longer a Bible-believing institution. She still uses the Word of God when it fits, but it's no longer the ironclad rule of faith. She's ready for the lie. Men can stand up and say things contrary to the Word of God and say, the Spirit told me, and people who were once governed by the Word of God will move away from it. The church never came to this delusion overnight, folks. No, no. It has been a gradual process. Here a little, there a little. Accepting that which was false to the Word. She's been led as a lamb to the slaughter. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. Thinking herself wild, she became a fool by compromising precious truth for what the world called unity. False unity. Amen. The end of which will be the enslavement of all mankind. All mankind. Jesus said, and everyone who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Matthew 7:26. Now according to these words, to hear and not do is the same thing as believing there's no God. For the Bible said, the fool said in his heart that there is no God. Now this foolish action became extremely noticeable a few years ago when the Holy Ghost began to reach inside of dead apostate religious systems and deal with men's lives. When it began to reach inside of those and deal with men's lives, and then there rose up a crowd that began to say to the people that you're to stay where you are. Amen. And so the world got the delusion that God had begun to move among the idolatrous and the dead and the apostate. Instead of knowing that God was just reaching in and saying to his people, come out from among her, the world was led to believe that God was moving among the false, that all of a sudden he'll accept idolatrous conditions. And so we began to look at a situation that was a total lie according to the Word of God, but yet it was accepted among the neo-Pentecostal believers, and the big lie had a foothold in the door of the church. This led to spiritual breakdown. The impression left was that God was blessing these idolatrous systems. Men believed that, which was not true. God was only moving to get his people out, folks. Amen. God was only moving. Names and titles and organizations mean nothing to God. No, no. It is born again, Holy Ghost-filled believers that mean with God. And the one thing he says about them is that we must be sound in what we believe. We must be. We must not be just experience-oriented. They are experiences, but those experiences must be deep-rooted in this book. Now, with the Bible base destroyed, the church no longer having an absolute to take its bands from, began to cave in before the enemy. When there was no absolute to really take our bearings from, we were afloat, adrift in a world and didn't know where we were going. There was nothing really to take our bearings from. It began to cave in before the enemy, then like a house of cards. Once the Word of God was set aside, the mind became convinced that God was filling the idolatrous with the Holy Spirit. It was all downhill. Once this lie was believed, then the church was open to believe anything and anyone who could perform or fake a supernatural act. At this point, the religious quacks began to crawl out of the woodwork and take advantage of the people of God. Therefore, you've got holy pocketbooks and pink strings to lose weight and every kind of a gimmick to prey on the minds of people. Peter said they'd make merchandise out of you. Once the Bible base was lost, then the church become a prey to the ideas of the false prophet. When the Word of God is ignored, the Holy Spirit took his flight. He'll operate nowhere outside of a Bible base. Nowhere. Took his flight. In his place came the deceived evil spirit of self, with 1,001 gimmicks to further delude and to deceive. Hungry hearts were taught to speak in tongues and told they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I can teach a drunk to do that if he'll just take time, got any intelligence. What the carnal mind can conceive and the carnal man can practice certainly isn't the Holy Spirit. Certainly isn't God. And so hungry hearts, hungry. I've had 1,000 phone calls in this place that said to me, is that all there is to it? They said to me to say what they said, I said it. Is that all there is to it? Amen. Was I filled? I said, no, you wasn't. If you was, you'd know you was. When I was saved, I knew I was saved. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I knew I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's impossible. If a man could be saved and not know it, he could be lost and not know it. Man said to me, you've got to get to heaven before you know you're saved. I said, then I'd have to get to hell before I knew I was lost. That's too late to do anything about it. Oh my, what a day we live in. The saints were told to bring paper bags to church to vomit the devil up in. The mighty gifts of God became toys in the hands of many who had lost the fear of God. In many services, sermons, whole sermons were preached to program the folks to fall out. It's always been a phenomenon that they were slain by the power of God. I've watched them spend 25 minutes telling them what to do and assuring them that somebody's going to be there to catch them when they fell out. Well, that's good to catch them, but I'll tell you one thing. It don't make any difference what you catch them or not. If it's the Holy Ghost, they ain't going to get hurt. And if they're a hypocrite and around, they ought to get hurt. One evangelist carried his own carpet to fall on. Yes, sir, the whole carpet. No matter that all this came to naught, there's always something new. And the poor folk keep hoping, keep hoping. The coming world church will be an amalgam of the great religions of the world. This is very important to note, for much teaching has led us to believe that it would only consist of an apostate Christianity. I know it's almost unbelievable that Christianity could be so diluted that it can incorporate the pagan religions, but it will happen. To put it bluntly, it's already happened. Very suddenly, the enemy has moved the church away from the Bible. And this, when it become accomplished, when this was accomplished, amen, within the neo-Pentecostal movement, people were taught all kinds of things, and they were taught them that only the ability to speak in tongues was a basis of fellowship. If you could talk in tongues and just take him in, no matter what else there was there, this become the basis of fellowship. The unregenerate were taught to say words they did not understand until they had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. No matter, they were steeped in idolatry, and for a man to lift his voice against it was blasphemy. I know. I was across this nation from one end of it, from Maine to Spokane, on television. I was like an illegitimate child at a family reunion. And every religious television station, when I really dealt with the truth, wouldn't run my program. One of them refunded me $14,000 4 years after I was off. That's right. They said, there wasn't nothing wrong with your program. We just was afraid to run what you said. Let me tell you something. The truth won't set free. Men are bound forever. Amen. If you're offended by truth, then Jesus said, woe be unto you. Woe be unto you. No matter. You know, the church came to believe that God had changed, that he no longer hated a false way. Now, the Bible never said he hated Hitler, never said he hated Nebuchadnezzar, but it did say he hated every false way. That's in your Bible. Every false way. Now, the Word of God, with its terrible pronouncements against all idolatry, was ignored. We began to witness those who believe that Mary is co-redemptor with Christ, speaking in tongues, professing to be filled with the Spirit of truth. Not uncommon to hear folks saying the rosary in tongues and giving testimony that the speaking in tongues has made Mary to that religion what it made Jesus to the Protestant. I've heard that. I've heard them sing songs. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And they had in those meetings sing, oh, how I love Mary. Amen. The same. That all was brought to naught. Now, I don't have anything against these folks. I'm just telling you, it isn't a Bible-based religion. And if it isn't Bible-based, then I cannot accept it. It is conditioning the heart, the mind, and making the soul ready for that pseudo-holy man this book calls the false prophet. Amen. Not only was this accepted by the Neo-Pentecostal, but was heralded as a mighty visitation from God. That God is involved himself in idolatry now, and they thought it was wonderful. Amen. Which meant they, the Neo-Pentecostal now, by their action, were saying that the Word of God is wrong, that God is accepting the heresies of Rome. Now, I know when this is read or said or taught or anything, many will react and say that the Roman church is moving closer. But I heard the Pope Paul II that's there now, in an address, he said that the mother of the church, Mary, will be lifted higher than ever before. And on the headlines of the Associated Press, his prayer was printed in bold letters when he prayed in Ireland for Mary to heal that land. I'd rather believe my wife could heal Ireland than Mary. She's been dead for 2,000 years. Wonderful woman, blessed of God, but she's not God. Angels have now become a part of the delusion. And let me tell you, angels are certainly in a part, ministers of man, but they're not saving people. They're not preaching the gospel. Amen. They're not teaching us truth that's not found in this Bible. They're not getting a new revelation and bringing it to man. No, no. This book is a final court of appeal. And if an angel comes saying something that's not here, Paul said, curse that angel. Curse that angel. Amen. Roland Buck came with his angels. You may believe it, but I can prove to you if you take time to listen, or I'll give you a book that'll show you. He made this book a second-rate deal. Amen. Angels have become a part of it. Absurd? Not at all. Not at all. Amen. To believe such is to bypass the Word of God. Now, we're still not convinced that we're moving toward the world church. I was in Spokane, Washington. The headlines of the front page, not the banner headlines, but the main one of the main headlines said that Mr. Graham and Muhammad Ali were going to team up in evangelism. And Mr. Graham said Mr. Ali had much to offer, and I'm sure that he might have in one part of this world. But he, being a Muslim, has nothing to offer in the Christian race. There can be no accommodation. Amen. Light and darkness cannot have fellowship. Amen. Then if you're not convinced, the ABC World News Tonight, September the 24th of 1980, a segment of the news was on the Catholic Church called A Church in Turmoil. A priest on the program telling the changes that have come to the Roman Church. He said that the biggest change was in the Mass, because the new Mass now incorporates Islam, Hindu, Protestantism, and Roman Catholicism. Now, anyone who believes that God will sanction such an unholy mixture knows nothing about God Almighty. Knows nothing. I'm saying the soil is being conditioned for the believer to accept anything in this hour. Amen. Satan, knowing that it's not difficult, that it would be difficult, rather, for Bible-believing folks to accept such a radical departure from the Word, reinforces a lie by sending angelic beings to convince the holdouts. Now, the man from Idaho says that God took him to heaven and revealed to him who the Pope would be before he was elected, and God assured Mr. Buck that the Pope had no more privilege with him than the least saints. However, because he had so much influence with men, God was concerned with who got the job, because the Pope was going to help him heal his church. That's in his book. You didn't read his book, Angels on Assignment, just read it. Said the Pope's going to heal him. And I asked Roland Buck, how in the name of God is the Pope going to help heal the church when he's praying to Mary? He said, God's building a lot of bridges. I said, to where? I mean, you can build bridges, they got to go somewhere. Amen. The Word of God says that the church Christ shall return for will be without spot or wrinkle. Is that right? Now, the prophet Zechariah said the church would be a candlestick all of gold, or a church all of God. That's what it means. When he waked him out of the sleep, what do you see? He said, I see a candlestick all of gold. That means he sees a church all of God, purged, cleansed, purified. Amen. Yet here's a man who says by inference that this has been changed. God's now going to use a man to help heal a church who believes that Mary is co-redemptor with Christ, a man who claims to be the Vic Christ, yet allows the highest sacrament of his church, the Mass, to be a mixture of pagan religions. And yet, here's a man saying an angel came and told him that God is going to use this to heal his church. I don't know who told this man Buck such a lie, but I can assure you that angel didn't come from God Almighty. Because God has always safeguarded his word from error. The new religion is in the past. We'll take the wrong sword. Well, always. Revelation 13, 15, and causes many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. It's always been that way, folks. Nothing crueler than religion when it gets the upper hand. Not Christianity, religion. It'll take up the wrong sword. Satan will go to any length, use any tool to make you a part of his lost world. You can pass land and sea, he said, to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him a two-fold more child of hell than when you got to him. Matthew 23, 15. Satan's own prophet will close this awful trap on the souls of men. Refusing to believe the word of God, impotent men will be caught between the jaws of damning, miracle-backed, angel-preaching, soul delusion, and the jaw of self-preservation. He'll be caught in the middle. Dr. J.A. Sees puts it this way. Thus, in the name of democracy and popular rights, comes absolute dictatorship and imperialism. In the name of better reason, tramples on religion and revelation, thus comes a great consolidated system of gross idolatry. In the name of charitable liberalism, which disdains allegiance to any creed, comes a budded despotism which compels man to worship the base image of a baser man or die. You either take his money or die. You're either caught out of here when he comes of the damning delusion of the false prophet or force your mind. Oh, you talk about hell. There'll be a hell. You talk about hell when this religion comes. These are the final days, folks. You believe that? These are the final days of God's testimony on earth. God, who in sundry times in divers manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, who is appointed to be heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. This is God's truth. This is God's truth. He asked us to believe and be saved. If you refuse this testimony that God offers, another testimony is coming. It'll be the testimony of the pseudo-lamb that already is being heard. The devil will impose upon the Christ rejecter his substitute. Jesus said, because you would not believe the truth, and he said, I'm the truth. Because you wouldn't believe truth when it came in a person, there's one coming after me, a lie, and you will believe him. You know, it's really something of our time that men 50 years ago who denied the supernatural, who denied the supernatural of the Bible, are now gracing the places of the palm readers and the spiritism and the witchcraft of our time. You know what? It always, when Saul rejected God, mister, he knocks on the door of the Witch of Endor. America has rejected her God in the Bible and has mixed a God-given Christianity with the false pagan religions of the world. And today, she knocks on the door of the Witches of Endor. There's more devil believers in America, devil worshippers, than there are Holy Ghost-filled believers. The devil will impose. Without Jesus Christ, you'll be eternally caught in the web, become the helpless victim of religious mimicry. You. I've spoke out of love of concern for a church that's heading down a wrong road. A church that's allowing things to be insinuated that'll keep the presence of God from moving, the testimony of Jesus being made real. No matter how many angels a man may have seen and conversed with,
We can't accept the mere words of man or angel as a proof that man, a true prophet of God. This has always been true down through church history. We must surely contend for it in the worst apostasy that a world has ever known anything about. He said, when we have done all to stand, we must stand then with our loins girded about with truth. That there's only one sure foundation that's anchored in the word of the living God. There can be no antichrist without a false prophet. Two men will come, not one. One's job could never be accomplished without the other. The religious instinct of men must be captured. Satan could never have brought his apostasy had he not been able to take hold of the big names, some of them, of the Pentecostal church, whose name becomes synonymous with absolute truth. He could never have invaded the ranks. But once he caused us to move away from the Bible base, then that church become a victim of the circumstance. And today, man's roots is in experience, not the word of God. Spirituality of a human is judged by his experience. The man can tell the tallest tale, is judged to be the spiritual. This book alone is the answer. And spirituality has only one meaning, controlled by the Holy Ghost. These are the elect of God. These are the elect of God. Let us stand together and worship the Lord. Just lift your hands. Amen. Johnson, would you tune up here for me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's worship the Lord here this morning, folks. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come help me, sister. Amen. Sister, play the piano for me. Sally's mother, I can't remember your name. Come help me here on this piano. Amen. My musicians run off and left me. Amen. You come help me. We're fixing to sing here. Amen. We're going to sing Only Believe. And I want you to lift your hands here. And I want us to sing this from our hearts. Only believe, only believe. Folks, all things are possible to them that believe. I've made up my mind, folks, that I'm going to be a part of that raptured church. Have you? I said, I've made up my mind that I'm going to be a part of that raptured church. Thank God, Paul said, that I might apprehend that which I've been apprehended for. Even with the great preacher Paul, he recognized there's a possibility of missing this. He said, oh, that I might apprehend that which I've apprehended for. Not that I'm already perfect, he said, but I'm going to have what God saved me for, and that's a part in that first resurrection. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing it here this morning. Only believe. Lift your hands. Sing it to Jesus. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Now, Lord, I believe dearly. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe sing it again, will you? Maybe my Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe you. All things are possible, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible, Lord, I believe. I want you to sing with me an old song that the Baptists sing as an invitation song, but I believe it fits my heart this morning. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Do you feel your need of God today? Do you really feel your need of God today? Thank you, brother. Sit right down there, will you? Amen. Do you really feel that need? Do you know who in this city wants money more than anybody else in this city? The man that's got the most of it. You and I, for the most part, never had much of it, so we just worry about eating, sleeping, and making it, wanting to give something to God. But the man that wants money the most is the man that's got the most of it. And the person in this auditorium this morning that wants God more than anybody else is that person that's closest to God. The backslider don't want to pray. The cold heart don't want to pray. It's that one close to God that has a desire for God. I want to sing, I need thee. And if you feel your need, and you really need him, sing it to him, will you? Lift your hands. Worship him, folks. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, be not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, be not pass me by. Oh, Jesus, don't pass me by. I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want to draw close to you. I want to be that vessel through which you can live. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us today. Tomorrow, I'm going to bring you a startling revelation of our time from the Word of God. I'm going to show you that we don't wait on a world church. It's already here. And in the message, I'm going to show you who that false prophet is. The one we spoke about today. Tomorrow, I'll tell you who he is. On a Wednesday, I'm going to deal with a world under its own Christ. I'm going to show you a time when the church is gone. The most frightening era of human history. Amen. All this week, we're going to deal with this. On a Friday, we're going to deal with Jesus is coming. And who's he coming for? I'm going to show you exactly who will be in that rapture. You won't have to guess. I'll show you when it's going to take place. You won't have to guess about that either. Amen. On a Friday. But I want you to be a missionary in that service tonight. I want you to talk to folks around you. Encourage them to be here in these day services. Amen. We're going to be praying one for another. Brother Shambach's on the radio in my place. There's a reason he's not in here with us today. He'll be in here much of the time. We'll be praying together one for another. He's got, we're on an hour every day, 1 till 2 o'clock live. People can call in. So he and Robert are back there on the radio. He's not here. His dear wife is here, but he's back there on the radio. But I want you to encourage him to come. While you're standing, we're going to sing a chorus, and we're going to receive your offering. And I want to tell you what this morning, this daytime offering is for. Brother Shambach is going to leave right after this meeting, a few days after this meeting, for Nigeria. Meetings have been set up, and from all that they can get the reports back, he's going to be gone 21 days, and in the course of that time, he will speak to probably 1.5 million people. 1.5 million. Now, folks, you know the message he preaches. You know the gospel he brings. You are the sole judge of whether Nigeria has a right to hear this man of God bring that message in 3 major cities, Lagos and 2 others. Amen. He'll be in vast arenas to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Well, I'm going to be in Zaire at that time, or I think I'd be with him. Amen. He just, you know, he said if he wasn't going to Nigeria, he'd be with me. Amen. But I can't go to Nigeria with him. But if I give an offering to that, I'll be a stockholder. The same anointing that touches him will touch me. You make your checks payable to Power, P-O-W-E-R, right on the bottom of it, mission. So it will be, we'll know it won't be anyway, because he said this is kept separate from the others. He told me to receive the offerings in the morning. He'll be here some morning for this African crusade. 1.5 million look him right in the eye to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Isn't that exciting? Now, we're not going to just, we're going to take it like he does and let you come by. And here, if this won't hold it, we'll get another one. But you be generous this morning. I want to encourage you to be generous. Amen. You can write your checks, and you have to sit down to write them. You do that. Amen. Or get out your biggest bill, and we're going to march by from over this way. You just march around, and you over here, if you'd come this way, then we'll go back to center aisle, get where we are, and we won't have any traffic problems. You come from over here, drop yours in, and go this way, and you come over here this way and drop yours in, and go back to your seat from this direction. Father, we're taking an offering for folks we'll never see till we get to heaven. We're sending a man of God. You said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can a preacher preach except they be sent? Now, Lord, this offering goes to send this man of God to Nigeria to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, a gospel of hope to millions. People that have never heard are going to hear, and they're going to receive, and they're going to be saved. Now, I thank you, Jesus, to bless this offering. And I especially ask you to bless the missionary people that believe that such a gospel is the only hope. Bless them as they give that gift, that you'll multiply back 100-fold in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know many of you are sitting down writing, but I want everybody to come by, put something in here. There's nothing too little, nothing too big, and it all goes to proclaim the gospel. When you've got it filled out, you just stand up, and we're going to sing, or we're going to sing that old chorus we're just singing, I Need Thee. Amen. Nigeria needs thee. And you just come on by and drop it in this morning and pray God. Every day it'll be this way. We'll receive for this offering for this time. I need thee. How's our business looking?
I'll let you know that later.
Amen. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. God, touch mama today. Bless her, Lord Jesus. Bless her, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Bless our sisters today. God bless you, Molly. Praise the Lord. God bless you, dear friends. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless you, man. Good to see you, Sister Dawson. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, ladies.
Pray for my mama.
I will. Touch it now.
May God relieve me. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I want you to agree with me for her grandson. Total deliverance here today. Lift hands. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, deliver that grandson. Deliver that grandson in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands and love God here this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got to get $50 change out here. That lady said $50 tithe here and $50 in the bucket, so you know what I'm doing here. Amen. All right. Don't want you to think that I'm reaching my hand in the till here. Amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. You believe that? When we get to Friday, I'm going to tell you who he's coming for. I'm going to deal with the tribulation this week, probably Saturday. Never been such a fuss over when it's going to happen, who's going to be in the rapture, whether it's going to be one or not, when the tribulation is going to take place. But I believe it's going to be a great profitable time for you and I this week as we gather here at noon each day to worship God. 7:30 each night, noon each day. Now tonight I'd advise you to come by 7 anyway, because we didn't have no room yesterday afternoon. We're going to put up, we've got the chairs all ready to put out, the balcony, the choir, amen, sit on the altar anywhere you can find, as long as the fire marshal don't get out here. But we're coming here to have church tonight, amen, and every day at noon. Tomorrow, the world church is here. And I'll tell you, you'll leave here tomorrow knowing who the false prophet is. Let's stand together and let's love him again. Sister Rose. Let's believe for permanent. And let's get her here in this meeting. Let's believe to get her here in this meeting. My God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you'll touch this woman, heal her, and bring her to this meeting. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Touch and heal.